Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Property Uncovered with YOPA. I'm your host, Charlotte, and today we'll be talking about the Scottish property market with the YOPA's Head of Scotland, Anthony Conroy.
Hi, Charlotte, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
So the reason we wanted to talk to you today is just to get a bit of a property market update on Scotland. And I'm going to start off with a bit of good news, which is that I've recently heard we are now one of the top five estate agencies in Scotland.
Yeah, that's correct. January, February seen a really good rise in instruction levels for us, and it kind of kicked us into the top five. So we come in at fifth place just now. And to be fair, in February alone, I think we were top three for that month in isolation. But for the year running, yeah, we now kick into top five.
So it's been a pretty good start to the year, not just for YOPA, I think, but for most of the property market across the whole of the UK. I know there have been lots of headlines that are about prices going down, and there has definitely been turbulence. There still is. But so far, house prices have pretty much exceeded expectations across the board. So we're looking all right for the beginning of 2023 at the moment.
Yeah, the market started really well. Now, after last year, if it kind of taken a bit of a stop after the mini budget, we've come back in January and February and it's kind of kicked on really well, which is good to see. There's plenty of people buying, there's good deals for mortgages out there, and there's definitely a lot of activity, which is very encouraging for the rest of 2023.
Before we get any further, Anthony, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you got to the role you're in today?
I'm born just outside Glasgow in Scotland, obviously, and I joined the industry, well, it's about 18 years ago or so. I joined in an off-chance meeting viewing a property, and I ended up with a job out of it after about 7 days after viewing a flat. And I've been in the industry ever since. And pretty much when I joined the industry, about 2 or 3 months into it, the industry crashed, which was interesting, but gave us a good education in property, and we've seen it all happen from crashing to the boom of recent times, COVID, and where we are today. I've been with YOPA for just coming up in 6 years. So I was at the beginning of launching YOPA Scotland many years ago there, and I've basically joined YOPA as a territory owner. After 4 weeks or so, got offered a job of regional director to go and develop Scotland. And 6 years later, and many members coming and going, we kind of find ourselves in the position we're in just now as head of Scotland, and building a great team, a team that produced great results, as we've already discussed. And ultimately, it's been 6 years of very good fun, taking it from not even getting a valuation to doing circa 200 instructions a month.
I just have to ask, how do you accidentally get a job from viewing a flat?
I suppose it's called being a chancer to a degree. I went to view a property in Hamilton with my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, and it was a young company who had just started up. I was kind of in a transition period from working from the family business and that my dad had just sold, and I was looking at moving into something different. And when we were doing the viewing, and I just said to the guy, I was an admirer of the company, it was a young company, and if they were looking for anybody, and he says, we actually are, can you come in and see one of the owners, which I went in to see a few days after that, and I was offered the job a few days after that again. So within 7 days of viewing the property, I didn't buy the property, but I got a job out of it.
That's fantastic. I love that serendipity. I think sometimes the best jobs are the things that you just stumble on by yourself.
100% is just by chance, and then you kind of ran with it. But literally about months after joining, the whole market crashed, and we had to then try and fight for our lives. And it was a young company as well, so it was an interesting first 5-6 years in the industry to try and work out how we can survive a market that's just crashed with a very young company who weren't now massively cash rich, but we got there, and it was a great education and a great apprenticeship to try and serve that's kind of served as well in all the other times, because I don't think it'll ever get bad as that. Touchwood.
Yeah, I can imagine starting at that time, like it's a real kind of baptism by fire, I suppose. You have seen pretty much the highs and lows of the property market in the years afterwards. A terrifying experience, but probably an extremely good one in many ways.
Definitely. Now, so, some of the things we seen back then, people buying property at a certain price and then it sort of falling through the floor was quite scary. We've not seen anything like that since. But also, I think when we're looking at markets just now people are talking about present day, the market potentially dropping and falling through the floor. I don't think it will. And I think we're in a... With education in the early days, it certainly got us standing in good stead today, and hopefully I can pass that expertise and that knowledge on to the team as well, who may not have been in the industry back then. So although it was interesting at the time, it certainly set ourselves up for a good education for times like just now.
Speaking of numbers, this is kind of a UK-wide thing. Every month, the big lenders tend to release something called a house price index, and those are mortgages they've given out. So it tells us a lot about the property market and how much properties are costing. And it is a little bit up and down at the moment. So the Nationwide House Price Index reported a 1.1% fall in house prices. Conversely, the Halifax House Price Index, which works slightly differently, has reported a 1.1% rise in house prices year on year. So obviously we're seeing a little bit of turbulence at the moment, a little bit of conflict. What are your views on the Scottish market at the moment? What's happening for people who perhaps are just dipping their toe into the property market for the first time? Maybe they already own a house, but they haven't moved in quite a while and they're thinking of doing it now. What's the environment like at the moment?
I would say the environment just now is still very buoyant out there. I think it's slowed down a lot in terms of viewing figures and people out viewing property. So in Scotland, for the last few years, a lot of properties, or most properties, would have went to a closing date. There'd be multiple offers put on the property and the best offer would win. And it would normally go sell for a very high figure. I think during that period, there was a lot of people were missing out on properties because there was so much demand and only one person can buy a property, obviously. So that kind of fueled the market even further. But with the change in interest rates and sort of calming the market down, I think you're now seeing offers being accepted out with closing date. There's still closing dates happening. Values above home report. Now, sales above home report value, which used to be the norm, is now slowed down. Still does happen, but people are more paying round about home report value. So the market's still very good, and I think there's more chance of you being successful at buying a property today than you would have been at this time last year. So I actually think, although it sounds a little bit crazy from an estate agent point of view, I actually think it's quite good that the market settled down for the buying public and for the selling public as well. And it makes our life a little bit easier, a little bit more controlled. And ultimately, people are now being able to buy because of that kind of frenzy has kind of settled down. So it's not changed. We're not selling property. Properties are still going, but it's just all in a more controlled environment. And it's giving people a chance to actually buy, whereas before, you were maybe getting 20 offers on a property, 100 odd viewings in a property. It was just not sustainable. So it's actually nice to see it calm down again and go back to a kind of normalised market.
And actually speaking to a few different sort of leaders around the industry, fact is that for the past couple of years, the market has been absolutely insane. Some of it probably down to things like the stamp duty holiday and stuff like that, the sudden bottleneck of buyers after COVID, when obviously the market was very, very quiet. And any falls we are seeing, actually, they still haven't gone below pre-COVID levels or anything like that. So yeah, that sounds pretty positive, actually.
I think when people talk about it being not as busy, it sounds very negative, as if there's a huge change in the market. But it depends where you're changing from. Now, we were in a frenzy state and it was unsustainable. So for it to actually calm down but still be above pre-COVID levels, I think we're in a good place. Now, house prices have risen over the last few years and a property today is worth far more than it was a year or 2 years ago. So we've seen the benefit of the rising market, and I think now it's time to kind of plateau and settle down, because it couldn't keep rising at that rate or it becomes totally unsustainable. So I don't think it's a negative that it's slowing down. I think it's a good thing, and I think it's good for buyers, sellers and estate agents together. So to me, it's still very positive. People will always have to move. there's always people going to move for various reasons or various motivations, whether that be forced upon them or whether it be through choice. So for as long as I've been in the industry, 15, 20 years, seen the crash in 2008, people still had to move even in the darkest market that we had. So I'm hoping that there's no change in interest rates. I think hopefully people they look favourably on the housing market, and I think that it just makes lending easier. And as long as we've got finance coming through, people can buy, you'll always find people wanting to purchase, whether that upsizing, downsizing, through choice or forced, unfortunately.
Is the Scottish property market at the minute, how does it compare to the rest of the UK? Is it particularly different? Are house prices rising faster or slower? What would you say the regional differences are?
My own take on that, having spoken to a few of the other regional directors up and down the country and different people in different sectors, I would kind of say that it's quite similar. Now, the kind of stories that I'm hearing based in the north of England are very similar to Scotland, but I'm also hearing stuff in East Mids and West Mids that are very similar to up here as well. Now, people are still buying, it's slowed down. So I don't think there's that much of a difference. I think when you maybe go further down south, maybe into the London market, it may change because it's a market really on its own. But I think the rest of the country kind of conforms to what each other are doing. So I personally can't see that much of a difference. There'll always be slight regional differences. Even in Scotland alone, you'll have area differences in terms of whether you're in Inverness, which is more of a rural place than the bigger cities like Edinburgh or Glasgow. But we're also seeing what's selling in Glasgow, which is predominantly a very buoyant market, the same in the Angus towns of just outside Dundee, where we're selling very well. So I think if you do look at it, it's all very similar across the UK, but there's always going to be small differences here or there, but nothing major.
Interesting. Thank you. This one's kind of for me. How does the home selling and buying process in Scotland differ from the rest of the UK? Because certainly, as you can probably tell from my accent, I'm from England, but I believe the home buying process is actually quite different, isn't it? There's a far lower risk of gazumping and so on. Can you explain a little bit more about how the process differs from the rest of the UK?
Certainly. I think with the selling and buying, with the introduction of home reports in late 2008, it made selling a lot easier because you have to have a survey or a home report carried out before a property goes on the market. So straight away, you've got the mortgageable value on there straight away. So that gives the buyer more confidence. We also, we don't work with multiple agencies. So it's a single seller agreement, sole agency agreement, and that I think that also helps because you're working with one estate agent and it's not potentially two or three that you may have down south. When someone goes to view a property, they get access to the home report, either before they go and view it or once they've viewed it, depending on what agent, but legally they can get the home report at any point, and that gives them a full rundown of anything that's wrong with the property. It gives it a mark out of three, one, two or three. And it also has, as I said, the value on it. So that gives people confidence of what they're going to offer. And it also gives the lender confidence that they can offer, that they can lend on that value because it's all already been done by a surveyor. When it goes to the lawyer part of it, the legal part, the conveyancing part, we will then find that because of the home report, we're further ahead than probably you guys would be down south, because you know, there's an offer made in a property down south that you don't know if it's going to be accurate. You have to wait for a survey coming, and that survey could come back at a lesser amount. We've already eradicated that by having the survey done at the beginning. So when it goes to the lawyers, most people will know they can get they can get finance on it. They know the lawyer knows the value on it, and it's just bringing the conveyancing process together. We have very little fall through. We don't have we have some fall through, but not a lot compared to down south. I think it'll be around about half, and I think it's all due to these measures in place pre-sale that makes life a lot easier.
So interesting. I mean, from a sort of subjective point of view, it actually sounds like a less stressful system than what we have down south, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I've bought down south before, many, many years ago. It was my dad, that bought down south. And I can remember waiting to the very day that we got the keys, that you weren't sure whether it was all going to go through or not, or it could have been knocked on 24 hours. And it was just, it seemed quite a stressful situation that's already stressful. So I think with our system, we try and tie the missives up so as legally it's there, it's over the line. We work towards a date of entry or exit, and everybody's both listers are working to that day, but paperwork's been signed, you know, it's all going through, and you're working with the lender, the both lawyers, to bring it all together. So it's still a stressful process because obviously you're dealing in X amount of pounds, and it's a big emotional attachment when you're moving. But at the same time, I think we try to make it less stressful by having these measures in place. So yeah, I having experienced both ends, both sides, down south and in Scotland, I think our process is less stressful.
And that's quite a big thing, because in surveys we've done recently, we know that moving home actually ranks very often above divorce, starting a new job, having a child, in terms of how stressful it is. I think because it's so incredibly drawn out, and you know, you have a lot of money and stuff on the line. And as you say, moving home is also quite an emotional thing. It might be where your kids grow up. It might be where you've been for 3-4 decades. With that in mind, do you have any tips for people selling their home? How can they make it less stressful? What are the best ways to make it as smooth as they can?
The first thing would be to make sure you get the right estate agent, the person that's going to work best for you and communicate with you. So for me, it's all about, there's lots of choice out there, but not to say that choice is always a good thing. But if you're selling a property, regardless of the reasons behind, I would say that the sort of top three tips would be: make sure you get the presentation of it properly. Make sure that it looks good. People want to see things that are as close to walk-in condition. And even if it's an older property that needs work done to it, now showcase it at its best is the way that you're going to get the best interest. The second thing would be, once it's looking good and looking at its best, make sure that you price it appropriate. There's too many people that still think that go on too high or don't put much emphasis on price and just kind of throw it on the market, which I don't think is a very professional way of doing it. So I think getting it price specific is good. That will draw good attention. It will draw people into the property. And if the presentation's good, it's a double whammy. And then when you are doing viewings, I would schedule viewings in blocks. Now, if you're going to get the interest and you went to the hassle of presenting it properly, price it properly, and you get lots of interest, it's all about how you use a strategy to show people round, to show off that you do have interest and you're not just taking the estate agent's word, because not many people will believe them. And I think it's important that we then showcase it in a way that has got a strategy behind it to get the best result. Ultimately, most people want the most money for the property. And I think these three things will get that, but also you'll find the right buyer. And if it's not money that you're looking for, maybe time and money or just time, if you get enough interest because of the other things that you've done, you then have choice of what you can do. And coupled onto all that, having the right estate agent who can give you the strategy, who can price it appropriate, give you advice on the presentation, and then communicate and work with you through the whole process to make it as less stressful as we can. I think that's the key things when you're selling a property.
Yeah, I think finding the right estate agent, I would agree, is so, so important. It has to be someone who you get on with, who understands what you want from your sale, from your move, and who'll be able to be quite flexible and advise you when things change, what kind of strategy you should be using. It's really kind of a partnership. So yeah, it's very important that people get that right. So a slightly more fun question. If I were to give you, let's say, £1 million right now, and you could move to your dream location in Scotland, where would it be? Where would you choose to live?
It's a difficult question because, to be fair, Scotland is a very beautiful place and has many beautiful areas. But one of the places that I kind of would like to go to, and we do go through for weekends, etc., would be to St Andrews.
Oh, I love St Andrews, yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous market town. It's got great history through it. If you like golf, it's got great golf courses all round about. It's got the most famous golf course in the world, most famous 18th hole in the world, and it's got some beautiful restaurants, and there's just a cool vibe around about the town. And yeah, it's easy accessible. You can get close to some of the big cities from it, but some of the property, you've got a mixture of modern properties, but some nice quaint properties as well. Because it's a market town, holds a lot of character within these properties, and ultimately it's just a must place visit. But at the same time, it's got a lovely beach, and if you do get the weather, which we don't do a lot in Scotland, but the summer can be good, it's got an absolute phenomenal beach, and it's got phenomenal seafood all round about it. So yeah, it's St Andrews kind of ticks all the boxes for me, and my kids love going there, my wife loves going there, and I certainly love going there.
I went to St Andrews for the first time about a year ago, and I was very lucky. We had a very sort of mild day. It was very sunny. And I went on a really beautiful coastal walk about 5 miles up and 5 miles down again. And it was absolutely stunning. We went past these golf courses. We were going by the beaches and then had an amazing dinner afterwards. And it was only a day we spent there, but I really, really loved it. I also really like Glasgow. I think if I had to choose a city, I would live there. I've spent quite a lot of time there, and just everything's going on, and you're still a fairly short drive away from the country, so it's absolutely stunning.
I like Glasgow. Glasgow's where I'm born and bred, so I'm always going to be a bit biased and say there'll be plenty of people who know me from our Europa days. It's that I always say that Glasgow's the best city in the world, and they always laugh and go, yeah. But to me, it is. I like Glasgow a lot. I like Edinburgh as well. Dundee's a great city, which is really now, it's an up-and-coming city. It's got the university through there. It's got the Q&A. It's just opened. Glasgow's great. Glasgow's in the centre. You're close to everything. But it's a real people place, which is always good. So you can go anywhere and someone will speak to you. You kind of think you can go for a glass of wine or a pint somewhere and you'll always find someone who'll turn around and chat to you. It's just one of those kind of places that's kind of friendly. And it's kind of I call it a kind of real city.
Okay, so now we're going to play a very quick round of Would You Rather, property themed. Would you rather have a big garden or a luxurious balcony?
I would have to go for the balcony side of it because I'm not a gardener. But my kids would probably have the opposite, and they would probably go for the garden so as they could play in and get trampolines and pools, etc. in there. But for me, out with my kids, I would go for the balcony stroke terrace.
Because your kids aren't the ones doing the gardening, so...
Exactly. I've got fake grass in at my house, so I don't even need to cut it. The terrace really... I could sit there with a glass of wine in the rain in Scotland. It'd be brilliant.
Oh, lovely. You know, a couple of years ago, I would have disagreed. I would have said no, a garden every time. But I fairly recently moved to a property with a very small back garden because I live in London. So we don't have a lot of garden space. But I've got to say, in the 2 years we've had this garden, I've barely spent any time in it because it takes so much upkeep and maintenance. I swear in the summer, every other day, I'm weeding that garden. I would now take a balcony or a terrace every single time.
Yeah, 100%. I've got a small bit of grass at the front of my house that's shared with my neighbour next door. And we pay someone to cut it in the summer every 2 weeks. Scott comes round and takes a fiver off us, and it takes him literally about 3 minutes to run over. But the guy next door and myself, we're just not gardeners at all.
Second question. Stairs have been banned. Do you have a slide or a fireman's pole in your house?
I'd probably go for the slide, because the slide is probably, you could have less accidents with the slide and greater fun, regardless of what age you are, whether you're my 9-year-old or my 5-year-old or you're at my age going down there. So I would definitely go for the slide.
Yeah, I agree. I would go for the slide as well. I think I'm a big kid at heart, and I think that would actually be very fun. Might not make the house easy to sell, but yeah, I think that's an excellent choice. Okay, last one. Would you rather let your children design your living room or let Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen redesign your entire home? And you have to keep it like that.
I'd probably go for Lawrence, to be honest, because if you see the mess that my kids can make just now, never mind actually giving them the free will to go and do it, I would definitely go with the latter and go with Lawrence. Yeah, keep my kids away from it.
Interesting. Yeah. Is it Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen who did Changing Rooms? I rewatched some of it recently, and it's incredible how fast it's aged, and what a love of MDF he has.
these programs are amazing at what they do. But I could show you photographs of my kids designing without being allowed to design rooms, and you would probably go for the MDF all day long rather than them doing it.
Amazing. Thank you for joining us, Anthony. It's been really fantastic to speak to you.
No, you too, Charlotte. Have a nice day. Thank you.
You've been listening to Property Uncovered with YOPA. I'm Charlotte, your host, and our special guest today was Anthony Conroy. If you're thinking of selling your home, head to yopa.co.uk/valuation for a free, no-obligation valuation with your local YOPA agent.